Welcome to Local Matters, Mountain Express's weekly, mostly weekly news podcast. This is Margaret Williams, news editor. I'm joined by our reporters, David Forbes.
Good to be here.
Speak. And Jake Frankel.
Hey.
First, we're going to talk about commish meetings. David Forbes went and covered that since Jake was busy on a few other projects. So tell us what commissioners were up to.
Well, it was one of the first zoning battles Buncombe County has had since the zoning code went back in 09. Well, a zoning battle wasn't over zoning itself. These new rules the commissioners proposed and have worked out with a number of people, including realtors and hotel owners and vacation rental owners, would allow vacation rental homes in all the areas of the county, basically, and vacation rental complexes under some conditions in some of them. And this attracted a lot of support from, you know, people who'd said, well, pre the county having zoning in 2009, there'd been these homes, they hadn't caused a huge issue, from people saying there's a way to use vacant property in a down economy, and from the Asheville Board of Realtors representative come in and say that they thought this would be a big boon to the economy in the area, and people could get a, you know, rustic comparable out in the county and have a fairly, you know, home with a good view or something, rent it for a week while they go around to downtown, spend their money, whatever. On the other hand, you had people, including a member of the county planning board who voted against it, come up and say they thought this was an intrusion into residential neighborhoods, was bringing too much business into it, and that the ordinances were developed under a lack of transparency. The planning board members said it seemed like county staff and the people interested in this had kind of pushed it forward without a lot of input from the public. In the end, though, the Buncombe County commissioners just didn't find it very convincing, and they voted unanimously, or the criticism was very convincing.
Voted unanimously to support it.
Yes, they voted unanimously to support and, yeah, to allow the vacation rental homes. That was kind of the big nuts and bolts issue. You also had a lot of interesting public comment period. You had a lot of different issues come up. You had a very immediate kind of nuts and bolts front. You had these people near the CTS plant, the abandoned CTS of Asheville plant, which is, the area there is quite contaminated. It's been an abiding issue for years. The county is ready to go forward and condemn and has condemned and wants to demolish that property, but the...
Demolish the building that's on the...
Demolish the building, yeah. Acres. Not demolish the property entirely, but demolish the building. And this is, the residents have hailed this as finally a step in the right direction. It's going to, they say, shine more light on what's buried, they believe is buried there, and it's causing the contamination. And, but they say they've been frustrated at the slow pace of this. And Commissioner's Chair David Gantz said that the county is frustrated as well. They're ready to go personally, but they need to let the appeals process.
Yes, the current owners have appealed the demolition.
And
meanwhile, the original owners, who were largely responsible, apparently, for the contamination, are suing the current owners. So there's a number of lawsuits, and the legal side is kind of tangled. And the EPA has reports and studies ongoing as they decide whether to put the place on the Superfund site.
Yes.
And the EPA also recently confirmed that TCE, trichloroethylene, is a carcinogen.
Yes.
Carcinogen.
We'll no longer have to write the line, suspected carcinogen.
Right, so that's some of the kind of related big news. So what are the things that people get up and talk about?
Well, there was the Reverend Lisa Landis, who was, came up, and she was speaking on behalf of the Occupy Asheville demonstrations, which are ongoing and are protesting a variety of grievances. A lot of different contingents have turned out for those, from people who call themselves anti-capitalist to people who want higher taxes on corporations. People say Wall Street's gotten away with too much, and while people have suffered, and people from a variety of other causes, ranging from the death penalty to justice system reform, any number of things. She went up there and delivered a fairly long talk, I guess, about everything from Native Americans to Hopi prophecy to biblical Book of Revelations. To, she said healthcare wouldn't be required as much if there weren't genetically modified foods. And in the end, she got around to reading the Declaration of Occupy Asheville, that Occupy Asheville has put out, but because she'd used up most of her 10 minutes, which a number of people in the room gave up their time to allow her to speak, to let her speak for that long. That's the rules that the commissioners have. another person in attendance, Anne Marie Hornowitz, an UNCA student, had to get up and finish reading the Declaration. And then Brother Christopher Chiaramonte, a street preacher, is kind of a local fixture and often criticizes government bodies in the city and the county. He tried to speak during the vacation rental homes apart and had, but tried to say that what happened to URTV, the now-defunct public access channel, tried to use that as an analogy in the vacation rental homes. And Gant directed him repeatedly to said that he should stay on topic, not use that analogy. Protesting that during his comment period, Brother Chris started saying Heil Gant, and Bill Stanley, another commissioner, and Carol Peterson wanted to have him ejected from the room. He accused commissioners of being too thin-skinned and of crushing his constitutional rights. Also, on a somewhat different note, Jerry Rice, who's a longtime a critic, a gadfly on the commissioners. He definitely monitors all the meetings. He's
filmed almost every meeting.
Yes,
since,
he criticized them. He thinks they're not being transparent.
He's called himself a gadfly. He's very much a government transparency
advocate. Yeah. Well, in this case, he said that he thought Stanley had been quite rude to Landis at the last meeting, which Stanley had chaired while Gant was absent, and that this was not contained in the minutes. Gant said that he wasn't aware of any change in the minutes. Stanley wanted Rice thrown out because he said he was getting too personal by raising this criticism. But then Wanda Green revealed that the commissioners are not including the content of public comment in minutes any longer. She said this is an administrative decision, which is certainly something worth some further, we'll be looking further into.
And it's worth noting that at the meeting, it seemed like the administrative change was a surprise to the commissioners, that they were not
Gant, at least.
Were not aware of it, at least to Chairman Gant. And when Chairman Gant asked Wanda Green about the change, she said that they were following the recommendation of the North Carolina School of Government.
That's what she claims.
It's hard to imagine that the North Carolina School of Government would advise county commissions not to be more specific in the minutes, although it's very likely they said that legally they're not required to be more specific.
What she's maintaining is that legally they're only required to say public comment was held, here's who spoke, not necessarily even what they spoke on.
The names of the speakers.
That is not how most governing bodies that I've witnessed do it. And speaking of governing bodies, city council elections are heating up. The primary is next week. Two candidates will be eliminated from the race and six will remain. And interestingly, the campaign finance reports came out this week, which show some fundraising has definitely stepped up.
We'd been hearing that Mark Cates had raised a whole lot of money, but actually he's not the top money raiser,
Mark
at least
Hunt.
At this moment.
Mark
this is
Hunt,
Thursday.
Indeed, has raised a great amount of money, mostly through individual contributions. He's raised almost $23,000. Cates is second. Cates has raised a lot of money. His campaign's largely self-financed. There are individual contributions, but a lot of his money is in the form of loans and contributions from his own funds. And he's raised a little over $20,000. And then Chris Pelley, Lael Gray, and Jan Davis have all raised between close to $10,000 and just over $11,000. Saul Chase has raised almost $9,000. So it's interesting, and these numbers are, the last ones reported, which was at the beginning of September, these numbers are way up from there for a lot of these candidates. Cates has almost doubled the amount of money that he had had in his campaign chest in that time period. You've also seen, Lael Gray and Jan Davis have a lot more money than they had at that time period.
So at this moment, just a few days before the October 11th primary, Mark Hunt is actually has raised the most money.
He's raised the most money, with Mark Cates fairly close behind, and then a lot of the other candidates fairly close together and raised close to or just over $10,000.
Is there no report? Has Tim Peck not filed any? Or he said he would not raise any, if I recall.
Well, interestingly, there is a clause in state law, and this is both T.J. Thomason and Tim Peck have taken advantage of this, that if you swear that your campaign will not raise or spend more than $1,000, you do not have to file. But you have to sign a pledge to this, a legal document saying this will be the case.
Mm-hmm. It'll be very interesting to find out in a few days if these fundraising numbers correspond to where they land in where they place when the polls close.
Indeed.
In some ways, this is about the closest thing we have to a poll in some
in
ways.
Nashville,
there's
yeah.
been no scientific polls of this race thus far. There's been a lot of speculation, but no hard numbers. We do know that voter turnout does seem to be very low so far in early voting.
Sadly, not unusual. And this is actually something where it's up to individual voters who they vote for. We're reporters. We're not going to tell them who to vote for. But the fact is, please, people, get out there and vote. I am so sick of writing the words "record low turnout" every single city council election. Stop being lazy, Asheville.
There's David Spiel. Well, the early voting numbers are low. We are hearing from different reports, and we'll get some numbers on that early next week. It is an off year. That's one reason when it's not a presidential election, things tend to be lower.
Oh, that's an interesting difference. The county commissioners have their elections on presidential election years, mm-hmm. whereas that is a partisan race. City council, which is a nonpartisan race, has it during off years. Years they're neither midterm congressional or state elections and are not presidential elections either.
And there are already some folks who are pitching their hats into that ring for Buncombe County Commissioners. We're hearing some buzz, and the campaigns for the primary for the District 11 for the Congress.
Yes.
Yes, there are already candidates gearing up for next year's election. You mentioned County Commissioner David King is a Republican who's already announced that he's going to run for that, even though that's more than a year away. And that's going to be really interesting because it will be the first time in Buncombe County's history that we will be having district elections. And then this week we also had Nathan Ramsey declare that he's going to be running for state house. He is the former Buncombe County Commissioner's mm-hmm. chair, and he is looking to get back into elected office after David Gant beat him in 2008 and took over the chairmanship. I also just wanted to add that if there's anyone out there listening to this who have not yet voted in the city council and is not sure who they would like to vote for, at MountainX.com, if you go to the News tab and then hit the Elections sub-tab, we have a lot of information. We've done extensive mm-hmm. interviews with all of these candidates, and
we voter guides.
Encourage
yeah.
you to go there and get a sense of who do you like to vote for, and then go to the polls and cast your vote.
Early voting is through Friday, and then
Through Saturday. Tuesday, again, will be
Election Day.
Election Day.
Throughout the city.
Well, cool. Thank you guys for joining us here. And that wraps it up for this edition of Local Matters.